The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot, and I like it a lot.
Yeah! From the promise of legalization. To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Oh, yes, good day, Tokers and Tokens, and welcome. It is Thursday, February 28th, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us here. Got a very enthusiastic audience today. So glad to be here for you. And I was just checking the chat room before we got online and noticing people complaining about the commercials. Guess what, folks? We may have a technological solution coming very, very shortly. We've got an offer of some bandwidth and server space where not only we will be commercial free, but we may cross your fingers, also be broadcasting in high definition. Oh, yes. We are looking forward to that. So we will keep you posted on that. Once we get the tech all sorted out, we'll let you know. Also, coming up in the next couple of weeks, new shows here on 420 Radio, including, and I believe it starts this Monday, the return of John Doe Radio from Denver, Colorado, plus a bunch of other shows. We'll talk more about that in Hour 2. On today's show, all sorts of interesting stuff to get to, and today, it's kind of a review of welfare and drug testing. There's a number of states that are proposing bills to force people who are going to get temporary assistance for needy families or food stamps or unemployment benefits, force them to have to pass a drug test to get their benefits. We'll tell you all the latest updates in our 420 Radio News right after this first break. We're also going to spend some time in the Radical Rant on state welfare drug testing, so check that out. Also on today's show, we have some video from weedmaps.tv. They took some film at the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup. We'll show you that at half past the hour. Also on today's show, it's the debut of our brand new Thursday music editor, Bago Schwago, will be joining us at 20 after with a new hip-hop tune. So we'll talk to him and get the latest from our Daily Toker Tunes for you right there at 20 after the hour. All that's coming up on today's Russ Belville Show. Also in Toker Talk Radio in Hour 2, we're going to take a look at methamphetamine around the country, what's going on with that, and how the DEA allows these pharmaceutical drug companies to manufacture tons, literally tons, of these drugs, far more than are necessary for the people that are actually prescribed these drugs. You want to know why there's a prescription drug crisis in this country? A lot of it has to do with this DEA quota system. We'll talk about that in Hour 2. We'll also take your calls at 971-533-7111. It's the Russ Belville Show. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa. Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215. Or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
Now it's time for our 420 Radio News for Thursday, February 28th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. Indiana House backs drug tests of welfare recipients. This is from USA Today. Indiana welfare recipients could face drug testing and loss of treatment in a bill now headed to the Indiana Senate. House Bill 1483, which passed the Indiana House 78-17 on Monday, is part of a growing movement among states trying to ensure that those who receive tax dollars because they are poor don't spend them on illegal drugs. Seven states have laws passed in 2011 and 2012 requiring drug testing or screening for public assistance applicants or recipients, according to the National Conference on State Legislatures. They are Arizona, Florida, Georgia, Missouri, Oklahoma, Tennessee, and Utah. Representative Judd McMillan, the Brookville, Indiana Republican who wrote the bill, said, quote, "What we're trying to do is give somebody a hand up instead of a handout," end quote. Kansas Senate passes bill to require drug tests for welfare and unemployment recipients. This from KansasCity.com. The Senate approved a bill Thursday requiring drug testing for welfare and unemployment benefit recipients, as well as lawmakers suspected of drug use. The 31-8 vote, mostly along party lines, advances Senate Bill 149 to the House. The proposal calls for drug tests whenever state officials have reasonable suspicion that someone receiving or applying for welfare or unemployment benefits is using drugs. Suspicion could be raised during addiction screening by the Department for Children and Families or by missed meetings or criminal records. A proposal pushed by Democrats to also test any lawmaker suspected of drug use was added to the bill. Suspicion of drug use by lawmakers could be identified by the Department of Administration based on criminal records or other complaints. Court rejects Florida law requiring drug testing for welfare recipients from Fox News. A federal appeals court Tuesday upheld a temporary ban on a law requiring drug testing of Florida's welfare recipients. The 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Atlanta ruled that a lower court was right to temporarily halt enforcement of the state's drug testing program. The opinion said the state of Florida hasn't shown a, quote, substantial special need, end quote, for such mandatory drug testing. The ruling, authored by Circuit Judge Rosemary Barkett, added that, quote, there is nothing inherent to the condition of being impoverished that supports the conclusion that there is a concrete danger that impoverished individuals are prone to drug use, end quote. The Circuit Court's opinion also dismissed the state's argument that the testing for drugs without suspicion is okay because potential recipients sign a consent form. The court said the state cannot condition welfare benefits on the applicant's forced waiver of his or her constitutional rights. Thursday Night Marijuana Forum in Yakima, Washington. From the Seattle Times, the State Liquor Control Board holds its seventh forum on Washington marijuana regulations Thursday night, tonight, in Yakima. Hundreds of people have attended each of the previous forums around Washington to comment on licensing requirements for marijuana producers, processors, and retailers. The rules have to be in place by December 1st. Marijuana cannon, the latest weapon of drug traffickers in Mexico, from the International Times. Border security between the United States and Mexico has forced drug cartels to come up with new ways to get drugs across the border. Police confiscated a makeshift marijuana cannon that was used to send marijuana into California. The marijuana cannon was made up of a long plastic pipe connected to a compressed air tank. The cannon was placed in the back of a pickup truck where it could be driven near the border. From there, drug traffickers could load a package of marijuana weighing up to 30 pounds and fire it over the border and into California. Julio Cesar Chavez Jr.'s penalty for marijuana use highlights the need for updated regulations, from Yahoo Sports.
The Nevada Athletic Commission hammered Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. on Thursday, hitting him with a whopping $900,000 fine and suspending him for 9 months for using marijuana before his September 15th middleweight fight in Las Vegas with Sergio Martinez. The Nevada Commission was within its rights to fine Chavez, who failed a 2009 drug test in the state. It fined him 30% of his purse, the same fine it gave to UFC fighter Nick Diaz for the same offense last year. But Chavez had earned a purse of $3 million. Diaz was fined 30% of his $200,000 purse and $65,000 fight of the night bonus. Chavez's fine is the second largest ever doled out in Nevada, trailing only the $3 million fine to ex-heavyweight champ Mike Tyson for biting Evander Holyfield's ear in a 1997 fight in Las Vegas. This has been your 420 Radio News for Thursday, February 28th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we go behind the headlines and take a look at legalization, medical marijuana, and a plethora of marijuana bills at the Oregon legislature. This is the Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be back right after this. Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, The Russ Belville Show, Ganja John, and Cascadia Concentrates, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Adam's meticulous designs are individually crafted and screened in vibrant high-definition color. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
I have to say that there was one question that was voted on that ranked fairly high, and that was whether legalizing marijuana would improve the economy and job creation. I don't know what this says about the online audience, but the answer is no. I don't think that is a good strategy to grow our economy. So.
Nearly 1 million lives wrecked by a marijuana arrest every year, Mr. President. Politely tell President Obama what you think about legalization by calling the White House at
202-456-1111. All right, folks, time for us to go behind the headlines, and we're taking a look at some of the bills that are in front of the Oregon legislature with respect to marijuana. And there's so many of them, I didn't even have time to type them all into our Chiron here, but we'll just go through as many as we can in the time that we have available to us. First of all, the one most important one to address today would be Senate Bill 281, because right now the Senate Health and Human Services Committee is debating Senate Bill 281. This bill would add post-traumatic stress disorder, or as I prefer to call it, post-traumatic stress injury. There's no disorder when your brain freaks out over traumatic stress. It's not disorder. It's doing what it should do. Post-traumatic stress injury, whatever you want to call it, would add this to the qualifying condition list for the use of medical marijuana in the state of Oregon. Now, to date, only New Mexico, Connecticut, and Delaware expressly recognize the medical use of marijuana for PTSD. And of course, California's got that for any other illness for which marijuana provides relief. And a lot of people will get their PTSD covered under that loophole. So really, California, New Mexico, Connecticut, and Delaware, only states where patients can use medical marijuana for PTSD. Now, that's not to say that patients in the 18 medical marijuana states aren't using it for PTSD already. It's just a lot of them, especially the veterans, also qualify under pain. And while the pain may not be so dire to them, the PTSD is. So they go ahead and qualify under pain, even though they're really using it for PTSD. So this would just codify into law that PTSD would be a qualifying condition. Another very important bill to those of us here in the state of Oregon is House Bill 3371. This bill would legalize marijuana in the state of Oregon. Anyone over the age of 21 would be allowed to possess 24 ounces and grow 6 mature plants in their homes, just like medical marijuana patients are now allowed to do. They'd also be allowed to purchase marijuana from regulated retail outlets. So HB 3371 sets up an entire regulation system, production, distribution, retail, taxation, all of that. For information on this bill, you can go to normal.org. They've got a great CapWiz system that'll help you connect to your legislators, send them an email, or you can visit my blog at radicalrest.com. I've got links up there as well. There are also some other bills pending, at least a dozen of them here, and I want to give a big hat tip and thanks to Perry Stripling in Eugene with Willamette Valley Normal, who did a lot of the research on this. House Bill 3228 would make the medical use of marijuana in the immediate proximity of a person under 18 years of age subject to the criminal laws of the state. That's right. If you're a legit medical marijuana patient and you use your medicine in front of a kid, you wouldn't get the protection of being a legit medical marijuana patient. They would bust you just as if you didn't have a card at all. Because God forbid a kid sees someone using medicine. Now, no word on whether or not they're going to propose any bills about smoking cigarettes in front of kids, drinking alcohol in front of kids, taking your OxyContin in front of kids. Nothing on any of those. Just marijuana. Here's another one. House Bill 3055 sets a limit of 3 on the number of grow site cards that could be assigned to a grower or an address. So if you're a grower for 3 patients, that's it. If you and 2 other people are growers and you each grow for 1 patient at 1 place, that's it as well. You can't take any more grow cards on. House Bill 2052 would raise the fee paid by a defendant in a marijuana diversion agreement from $90 to $275. So if you get one of those things where they divert your case, it's going to cost you more to get out of it. House Bill 2919 creates a cannabis commission to study medical marijuana and exempts that commission from criminal prosecution. That's a good idea. Senate Bill 40 reduces unlawful manufacture of marijuana from a Class A to a Class B felony and reduces unlawful possession of marijuana from a Class B to a Class C felony. So lower penalties for growing or possessing. House Bill 3259 reduces penalties for the possession, distribution, and manufacture of marijuana. And this is basically a sentencing guidelines change for less punishment for marijuana crimes. House Bill 3194, same idea, modifies felony marijuana offenses. House Bill 3195 modifies sentences for certain controlled substances. House Bill 2622 includes podiatrists in the definition of physicians. What does this have to do with medical marijuana? Well, it could be that your podiatrist could recommend medical marijuana for the pain in your feet. House Bill 2377 allows people convicted of marijuana offenses in another state to obtain a concealed handgun license if the same kind of conviction in Oregon wouldn't disqualify them, right? There's some people, they might have got a grow bust in Kansas and they come here to Oregon, they can't get their concealed handgun license, even though the same grow bust in Oregon wouldn't have prevented it. This fixes that problem. House Bill 2409 adds preschools to the definition of drug-free school zones for the purposes of criminal charges. You know, you get double the fine or double the penalty. And House Bill 2204 sets up the sentencing for marijuana in different levels. 50 kilograms of marijuana or 500 plants would be a level 10 crime. 20 kilograms, 200 plants, level 9. 5 kilograms, 50 plants, level 8. 1 kilogram, 10 plants, level 6, and less than 1 kilogram, less than 10 plants would be a level 4. You can check out what the Oregon sentencing guidelines are for those level of crimes at my blog at radicalrust.com. I've got a link to the Oregon Sentencing Commission guidelines. And real quickly, just a couple of cigarette-related bills to mention. House Bill 3150 would raise the legal age for tobacco in Oregon to age 21. And House Bill 2077 would declare nicotine a Schedule III drug in the state of Oregon. And there you go. There's your behind the headlines. And joining us here for our 420 break, we got Bacon Dan, who's already making me hungry.
Absolutely.
So you brought some what?
I brought some Blue Dream.
Let's have a Blue Dream. We'll be right back.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Here's a marijuana fun fact.
Fun fact.
If you had enough marijuana that you could build a house with it, that would be so awesome. That's a fact. Because you'd be like, dude, pack a doorknob. Roll up that fucking hallway. What are you waiting for? The rooms will just be closer together.
Have you ever seen a news story like this?
You know, when shit hits the fan, I never really thought about it before, but, you know, it's kind of sudden and violent, and that's kind of what happened this week.
What about the children?
But, you know, I just wanted to say fuck you guys very much for judging me. You know, for using a plant to do whatever, it's none of your damn business. I don't ask you why you drink your face off, okay? But the deal is, I harmed no child.
Your one-room schoolhouse of choice. Your one-stop freedom shop. It's the Libra Lounge.
And remember, kids, as always, do your fucking homework.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Groovin' Thursday, featuring rap, hip-hop, soul, and funk music. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's time for us to introduce our brand new Groovin' Thursday music editor. It's Bago Schwago joining us. Bago Schwago, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
I'm so glad to have you here. You got to explain, how did you come up with the name Bago Schwago?
You know, I've had that name for so many years, I can't even tell you.
You don't even
I'm
know.
I'm sure it was probably some spell search when I was typing something in school, and I have no idea.
Well,
really couldn't tell.
We love it. We love the name Bago Schwago, even though we don't see many Bago Schwagos out here in Oregon.
Yeah, definitely not.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of to the south, so I do tend to run into those every once in a while, unfortunately.
I'll bet. Which state are you calling from?
Arizona.
Arizona. All right, so our Arizona Groovin' Thursday music editor, great background in hip-hop, told me all about it. Let's get to it. What have you got for us today for our Groovin' Thursday tune?
Okay, well, first off, I just want to say thank you for all that you do. I've been a longtime listener. Without you, I don't think I'd be as knowledgeable as I am in the whole cannabis industry and of the sort. So thank you right off the bat. Anyways, today's song, it's called Weed Brownies. It's by a guy who goes by the name Immortal Fame. His website is facebook.com/TheImmortalFame. He's located in Vancouver, Canada. His name is Caden Buchanan. He's an 18-year-old lyricist. He was born in Mission, British Columbia. I guess that's the same town as Carly Rae Jepsen, some singer from Canada and Canadian Idol or something.
Yeah.
No clue. I don't know. I'm not from Canada. Not close to there. Anyways, he said he was a great motivation builder with the industry. He has had the chance to meet and share the stage with some of the greats in music today, including Ice Cube, Dub C, Hopson and Swizz, and Xzibit. And that's all I could find on him.
Well, that sounds good to me. Let's get to it. This is Immortal Fame with Weed Brownies and Bago Schwago. Great work, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Where's my recipe? Something zesty. Where my weed at? For my weed brownies. So sweet. So good. So high when I'm eating up that good, good. Where's my recipe?
Hail Mary, cause she got me feeling holy. Got me saying, oh wait, homie's chilling with me. She my number one homie, mama told me. Good girls go bad, but I made it blow me. You the best I ever had, no exaggeration. Inhalation and I exhale that bullshit. I don't fuck with this blunt tip. Extra sugar, extra spice, got me feeling extra nice. So we don't puff, cut them up and dice it up. Feels much better when you chew it up. Where's my recipe? Something zesty. Where my weed at? For my weed brownies. So sweet, so good. So high when I'm eating up that good, good. Where's my recipe? Something zesty. Where my weed at? For my weed brownies. So sweet, so good. So high when I'm eating up that good, good. Damn, that's tasty. Count me going crazy. And I don't feel like doing anything lately. Do you? No, really, I'm so ripped off that douche. Look at me, I'm arguing myself and you too. It's like how high, I'm seeing shit that ain't there. As it walks by, by the body, I see everybody. Before we start baking, I'ma need everybody to incorporate the cannabis culture influence. I heighten the experience like a name. Prefix, cannabis, space, cosmic, and free. Okay, medicated, fabricated, stimulated, and spiked. Where's my recipe? Something zesty. Where my weed at? For my weed brownies. So sweet, so good. So high when I'm eating up that good, good. Where's my recipe? Something zesty. Where my weed at? For my weed brownies. So sweet, so good. So high when I'm eating up that good, good. Extraction of butter happens in various methods. Cooking applications, the extractions. Double boiler, a slow cooker. Now you need a strainer and a funnel. Don't wanna spill none of this on the table.
Don't do it,
this is raw material. Potent, can't you hear me now? THC crystals, got me waving triples. Seeing all triples, but I'm fucked up now. Only ate a little, but I'm hung up now. Can't even feel my face, overpowered by this taste. Put me in my place, a new mind space. High as a giraffe ass, this is real shit.
Where's my recipe? Something zesty. Where my weed at? For my weed brownies. So sweet, so good. So high when I'm eating up that good, good. Where's my recipe? Something zesty. Where my weed at? For my weed brownies. So sweet, so good. So high when I'm eating up that good.
Marijuana is harmless. That's what everybody says these days. It's fun. It's recreational. Some even call it medicine. But every year, millions of young people find out that marijuana is extremely dangerous. Every year, they find out that it's deadly. Marijuana smoke is lethal and toxic. Don't believe anything you've ever heard positive about smoking marijuana. It will kill you. Really. It's really gonna kill you. Don't smoke it. It will really, really kill you.
Harmless?
Seriously. It's gonna kill you.
Paid for by the We're Not Even Trying Anymore, We Made It All Up, Anti-Drug Whatever Thing of America.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Our marijuana laws are terribly unfair, and they make criminals out of law-abiding citizens. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges, and we are unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They are average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. And it's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Session started because it's 4-2-0.
Since 1974, High Times Magazine has been the chronicle of the cannabis community. The Russ Belville Show visits with West Coast editor Dave Bienenstock for a look forward to the next issue and the next marijuana events in our High Times preview.
Actually, we don't have Dave Bienenstock, but we do have some stuff from High Times. And more specifically, my friend Gil out at weedmaps.tv has produced an excellent video, some highlights from the San Bernardino Cannabis Cup in nice, high-quality video. So let's check that out. This is from weedmaps.tv from the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup. Enjoy.
I'm really looking forward to the High Times MedCan Cup this weekend, but before making my way to the NAS Event Center, I'm making a quick stop at OC Pharmacy, where I found out my bud tender Chris is also heading to the Cup later in the day. Now, Chris has never been to a medical marijuana expo before, so I let him in on a bit of what to expect, and before long, he sent me off with a nice cannabis care package that's definitely going to be a great fit for this Cannabis Cup weekend. For WeMaps TV, I'm Gil, and I am here at the scene, at the what could only be called a deluge of medical marijuana patients that are getting ready to go into the medicating area at the SoCal High Times Medical Cannabis Cup. It's a beautiful day out here in San Bernardino, California. There's been a little bit of shifting with regards to the location. First, we were going to be in Los Angeles, then I moved over to Glendale. We made it, and it looks like San Bernardino is the final resting place. Lined up behind me are a large group of medical marijuana patients that are just waiting to get into the medical marijuana smoking area. You know, we've got a big day ahead of us. We've got the game playing tonight with Redman, and tomorrow we've got Tommy Chong getting his Lifetime Achievement Award. It's going to be an amazing weekend. Why don't we go ahead and head into the medicating area and see what's going on? I'm here with Rick Kusick, associate publisher of High Times Magazine. How are you doing today, Rick?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm here at the Los Angeles Cannabis Cup. No, wait, I'm at the Glendale Cannabis Cup. No, I'm at the San Bernardino Cannabis Cup, finally, and we're having a great day. We're having a great time, great turnout. Thanks for having me on.
You've walked the rounds probably tirelessly a number of times.
Some stoner land out here. Yes, I have.
What are some of your favorite moments so far?
Well, let's see. I mean, there's a lot of whimsy here. You know, everybody's all dressed up in their strange costumes and showing themselves off. I like that a lot. There's a lot of humor here and a lot of innovation. I saw a way that they were making hash over there, this particular extraction machine, large size, polished steel, a serious, serious step forward. And you can see that that's what's going on here, a lot of innovation. And I think that's what really turns me on. For extraction stuff, they have these new containers that it doesn't stick. They're made out of silicone. You know, when you get the oil and you get them on those glass containers, you lose a piece of the action right there. Well, they've come up with that. And that's very utilitarian. And I'm sure we're going to see them in every color of the rainbow, in every size, shape, and form. In the next couple of months, but that's one of the things I enjoy is seeing all the new stuff.
All right, I am here with Swerve at the Cali Connection booth, and it is the 2013 High Times Medical Cannabis Cup. Swerve, how are you today, man?
I'm very well, man. Thank you guys for having me on, man. Mad love to weedmaps.com. Nothing but love, guys. Thank you.
Back at you, brother. Back at you. Any friend of OG is a friend of mine. Yeah, let me tell you. So, Swerve, I know you've got entries in the Cup this year here in Southern California. Why don't you tell me about what you've entered?
Definitely, man. This year we got some killer stuff for everybody, actually. We got our SFVOG Kush, the original version. And then we got our Girl Scout cookies for our hybrid. Everybody wants it. We're the ones to bring it. And then, you know what? We won High CBD with the Lion's Tabernacle, which is based off of the Jamaican Lion. And that's actually our sativa entry, which is Jamaican Lion. It's also a High CBD strain as well. So, and then we rolled it over with some absolutely phenomenal shatter. We called it the THC Venom, man. It's just fire. It's original sour diesel, the AJ cut, gassed out. Mmm.
You're probably looking pretty good for I have a feeling I may see you later tonight.
You know what? I'm really hoping to have that happen, you know. Aside from that, I mean, we got it going on here, you know. We got the booth, we got the seats, we got the bomb weed, and we got the cups for the Cali connection, you know.
The 710 Club, Hollywood, California. I'm here with Mo. How are you doing today?
Man, I'm good, man. I can't complain. It's a beautiful day today, man.
It is a beautiful day. And what you have brought to the table makes it even more beautiful. Mo, why don't you tell me about your entry into the High Times Cannabis Cup?
So this year for the Cannabis Cup, we're entering flowers and also concentrates. It's the Three Kings OG. It's a really, really potent OG. Very, very strong, very heavy indica. It's really, really good. It goes really well in the joint. And the concentrate actually is very, very potent. It has that really good consistency to it, you know? Strong indica taste to it. You can smell the OG. We work with Crown Extract to make this. They have a good reputation.
Yeah, they are definitely a past contender. And I wish you guys the best of luck this time. 710 Club, Hollywood, California. Mo, thanks for your time, brother.
Thank you very much.
All right, here we are, fresh off the bud extractions. The second place winner of the Secret Cup competition out in Colorado. Why don't you tell me about your entry?
Well, I entered the Tangy Shatter, run all from Top Shelf Nug from Reserva Privada. Very tasty, very clean shatter. We're really excited, and hopefully we take home a cup or even a medal today. So that'd be great.
Well, I look forward to seeing your entries, and I wish you the best of luck, man.
Thank you.
All right, I am here now coming from the Weed Maps Smoking Lounge here at the High Times Cannabis Cup. And this lounge is made possible by OC Pharmacy out in Anaheim, California. Now I've got Chris here from OC Pharmacy. Chris, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Gil. I'm doing great, man. Just here relaxing, just medicating, and just having a good time, man.
Now, you provided me with a really nice care package before I head out here yesterday. What was in that care package, Chris?
We gave you the white OG, coming from OC Pharmacy, which is a nice, heavy indica. I like the OGs. I don't know about you, Gil.
I might like the OGs, it turns out, Chris.
I know you're a heavy indica smoker, so this is a nice medicating to a nice end of the night. To me, I just smoke it whether it's the morning or whether it's a night, man. It's all day OG for me.
Me too, brother, me too. What's your experience been like here? This is your first expo, isn't it? What's your take on all this?
I love how I see all my fellow patients here as well as new patients, new ways of medicating, new glass, new people and new ladies, of course. And I just can't wait till next year, man. I just want to give a shout out to everyone at OC Pharmacy who made this possible and everybody who came through to the Cannabis Cup out in San Bernardino and Weed Mask, man. You guys have a great one, man. We'll be right back.
crazy dab-packed day one. I can't wait to see what day two brings tomorrow. Stay tuned.
Big thanks to our friends out at weedmaps.tv. Check out weedmaps.tv to get any more of those videos. They got some great production out there. And I saw Gil at the Cup. And every time, every Cup I'm at, every event I'm at, we see each other. And he's like, dude, we need to talk. I'm like, yeah, dude, we need to talk. And we're both, like, in front of a camera all the time. So there's no real time for us to talk. But we are going to work on that. We may have some projects coming up in the future, collaborations between 420 Radio and Weed Maps that could be interesting. We shall see. All right, we're going to take a little bit of a break here because I got to get stuff ready for the Radical Rant. We are going to talk a little bit more about these drug testing for welfare bills, the constitutionality thereof, and the truth about poverty in America. This is the Russ Belville Show. Stick around, everybody.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. NORML stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs.
Yarr! There be pirates here!
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family?
I think I'm entitled. You want answers?
I want the truth!
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
All right, for today's Radical Rant, I wanted to talk a little bit more about these bills that are going through various state legislatures with respect to drug testing the poor for unemployment or welfare or food stamps, assistance for families, whatever it might be. There was that story out of Indiana. Their house has now backed drug testing for welfare recipients. They've actually passed a bill out of their house, 78 to 17. Can only get 17 people in the house there to realize how stupid an idea this is. And the representative who wrote it, his name's Judd McMillan. Figured it'd be a Judd. Judd McMillan said, what we're trying to do is to give somebody a hand up instead of a hand out. And the way this would work is that those who receive the temporary assistance to needy families would have to take a written test that is used nationally to screen people for potential drug use. Those whom the test shows to have a high propensity to abuse drugs would be part of a pool randomly required to take a drug test. Those who pass the test would continue to receive benefits. Those who fail the first time would keep their benefits, but would have to enter a treatment program at their own cost. Those in treatment who test clean on two consecutive drug tests would continue to receive benefits. If they are unable to stay off drugs for 4 months, he said they would lose benefits for 3 months. Then they could reapply and could, if a drug test showed they were no longer using narcotics, get benefits again. All right, I will tackle some of the more obscene parts of that, but I just want to go back to this guy, to the written test part that he's putting into this bill. And there's a very good reason why this little catch is being added. They're not proposing to drug test everybody who applies for welfare. They're proposing to screen everyone who applies for welfare and then only drug test the ones randomly who fail the screening, who turn up to have some propensity, some possibility that they might be using drugs. Now, here's the reason why they're doing that. It has to do with the other story we covered, the circuit court, 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Atlanta, that upheld a ban on Florida's drug testing. And the state of Florida had been doing this, requiring everyone who applied for these benefits to drug test before they could get the benefits. A court put a halt on that, saying, hey, don't we have a Fourth Amendment? Anybody remember a Fourth Amendment? You know, this thing that says we can't conduct searches of people unless we have a damn good reason to suspect they're committing a crime, right? And being poor is not a crime yet. Being poor is not a crime for which you can suspect, is not a condition for which you can suspect someone is engaged in the crime of using drugs. In fact, statistically, it is counterintuitive. Statistically speaking, people under the poverty line use less drugs at less rates than people above it. You know why? Drugs cost money. It's a simple economic equation for most people. This is part of the thinking, and it just boils my blood because these people, these legislators, some of whom, you know, are doing fairly well economically, have no clue what it is like to be poor in America. Now, I know everybody gets this Reagan created welfare queen in the Cadillac myth in their head. And it's just not true, folks. It's just not true. When you going to the Kansas bill, they passed. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me finish the earlier thought. Why they're adding the written test part is because the Florida one is unconstitutional because you're testing everybody. They're going to try to sneak this around by saying, oh, no, we're not testing everybody without suspicion. Here's people who failed a screening. And that gives us the suspicion, you see, that we need to uphold the constitutionality of this thing. Now, we'll see how that turns out. But again, that's why they're adding this little written test part. Now, of course, I don't know how the written test thing is going to work. I don't know how it wouldn't get out very quickly among the community what answers to give on a specific test to ensure that you can get the money to feed your kids. I'm pretty sure that would get out pretty quick, given that we have the internet and Craigslist and Twitter and Facebook and all these ways of communicating. But nevertheless, this is their idea for making sure that it's constitutional, that it'll pass muster. But the other part of this is the fact that the statistics do not bear out what they are testing for. I already mentioned that people that are poor use drugs less at lower rates. That Florida situation where the judge has upheld the ban, the first few months that they did this in Florida, they found that it cost them more money to drug test everybody than what they saved in denying the benefits to the people who failed. They had a failure rate below 3%. It was like 2.6%, something like that. When the failure rate in the general population, by the way, of people that are just drug testing to get jobs is 8%. they were failing at one third the rate of the non-poor people, the non-welfare people. And they found that it cost them more because for the people who would take the drug test, who wanted to get their assistance, they would have to pay for the drug test up front, right? And then if they passed the drug test, that would get reimbursed to them in their first check that they would get, right? So they found that the reimbursement for all these drug tests, it cost them more for that than what they saved in not giving a welfare check to somebody who might have smoked pot a week ago. That's what they found out. So A, it doesn't work. B, it's not constitutional. And C, you're attacking a population for no reason, which statistically bears less responsibility for drug use in this country. And another thing that's silly about this, in a lot of states, these benefits, specifically food stamp benefits, I know here in Oregon and California and many states, are now distributed via a debit card, an electronic monitoring system, right? Because part of the justification for these guys, these juds out there, is to say, well, we don't want the poor taking our tax money and using it to buy drugs. Well, I have yet to meet the dealer who'll take the Oregon Trail card. I don't, they just don't exist, right? So that's a silly argument in itself. But let me get to this one part. There was a comment on the Kansas story that I thought just completely crystallized the way some of these people think. And it's a comment by a man who goes by the name of Roy Batty. Make of that what you will. The senator said that poor Kansans are already embarrassed to seek state assistance and that drug testing will make that worse. And Batty says, translation, if we're going to load them up with cash, let's make sure they know how they can spend it on whatever makes them feel good, just so they'll come back for more. You know, enabling. Okay, so they're basically getting free everything, and the senator thinks it's outrageous to test them for drugs before picking up their free money that you and I give them. What is outrageous What is outrageous is not being accountable to the people who give you the money. I'm not giving away the first 20 minutes of every hour worked so a non-worker can buy drugs. Clothing? Fine. Food? Absolutely. Prove you're clean and you'll get your free stuff. That's the way a shocking number of people in America think of welfare, think of the poor, and think of poverty. And I just wanted to give Mr. Batty some facts on this. If you're in Kansas right now and you're working full time at Kansas minimum wage of $7.25 an hour, that is a monthly income of $1,160. Now, take out $340 of that for taxes. You now have $820 for the month. A reasonable studio apartment in Kansas costs about $500 in rent. So now you have $320 for the month. Now, figure out how to eat, pay utilities, and buy a bus ticket to get to work on that $320. I dare you. The problem is so many people have been sold this, you know, I work hard and then the government takes some money and it gives it to the poor people and they're sponging off me. It's all bullshit to distract you from the truly rich people stealing your pensions, stealing your 401ks, shipping your jobs off, paying no taxes, looting the treasury. It's not the poor you should be so upset about. Most of the poor are what we call the working poor. People that are shuffling 2-3 part-time jobs, recycling, scrimping. And they want to play this game of, oh, well, our poor people are fat and they have big screen TVs and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, they have cheap big screen TVs because the job of making the big screen TV here in America got shipped off to China. We got that. And the company that makes those big screen TVs and their CEOs got enormous profits. We got that going on for sure. But this myth of the poor being living in luxury, getting all this free stuff is not true at all because I've lived it. Brian's lived it. People we know have lived this truth. And drug testing here, even if we're talking about someone who does have a problem, is not the solution to the problem. Because number one, most of the drugs you folks are really concerned about the people being on, the meth, the cocaine, the Oxycontins, those kind of things, those don't test very well. Those will go out of your system within a few hours or a day. Marijuana will stick with you for a week or a month. Isn't it interesting how our body tries to expel all the other drugs as quickly as it can, but holds on to marijuana as long as it can? Fascinating, isn't it? So really what you're doing here with these welfare drug tests is trying to catch people who are smoking pot. And so this guy, this baddie and others like him, well, I don't want my money. It's my money. I'm giving it to you. There should be all sorts of conditions. Well, gee, how far does that go? Maybe we should make it so that when you have the little debit card for your food stamps, that it can't ring up Lucky Charms, right? Can't ring up Lucky Charms. It can only ring up Raisin Bran. I don't want my money being spent on moons and clovers, right? Is that how far we're going to go? Oh, when you scan the thing, it can't be used to buy ground beef that's 15% or higher fat content. Has to be lean ground beef. When you use the debit card for your food stamps, it can only buy vegetables. It can't buy snack food. Hey, I got a better idea. Rather than trying to coordinate the stores to make sure exactly what these people can buy and eat when they're poor, how about instead we build a dormitory for them? We can have poor dormitories, right? Because you know these poor people, they don't take care of stuff. We got to keep an eye on them. So let's build a big dormitory for them. And let's not even worry about letting them choose and shop for whatever foods they want. Instead, we'll have it all cafeteria style. They can show up once a day, got like metal trays, and we'll give them the specific stuff that's, you know, all nutrient, good food, that kind of stuff. And instead, you know, they'll have a place to sleep. They'll have a place to eat. We can keep an eye on them. We have those. They're called prisons. Yeah, we have those. They're called prisons. This is not the America that I want to live in, where we are keeping our thumbs on the poor like this. And it's just frustrating. It's just frustrating when I see this because it's so many people. I grew up poor. I know how this goes. And they have a well-meaning intention, right? We want to help people, want to get them off of drugs or whatever the idea is. But when, and maybe that's a discussion we can have on cocaine, on meth, on oxy, on alcohol. But when we're talking about marijuana, there's quite a few people out there who are poor who are using marijuana because guess what? Pharmaceuticals aren't covered on your don't get sick or injured healthcare plan. For some people, this marijuana use is their medical use. They don't have the kind of healthcare plans where they can go get a Prozac or a Valium or you know, major painkillers when they have something. There's a lot of people whose choice of whether or not they see a doctor is it going to kill you? Right? Is there blood coming out? Can we see an exposed bone? That was kind of the checklist in my family when it was, you know, whether or not you're going to see a doctor. Because it wasn't a doctor, it was an emergency room. Because we didn't have health insurance, because we don't have health care in this country. A lot of these people are using marijuana to deal with the basic health care needs and the stress of living in poverty. When you're working two or three shifts on these minimum wage suck jobs, you got to squeeze in sleep anytime you can. You don't have health care to get an Ambien. Smoking a joint helps you go to sleep. The insensitivity and lack of compassion by these people who push these drug testing for welfare, it just continues to upset and astound me that it continues to exist. In the face of all of this evidence that it doesn't work, it's more expensive than just help giving people their assistance, and not to mention the unconstitutionality of it. There is nothing about being poor that means you deserve to be accused of a crime. And remember, these are still crimes we're talking about. And I don't see any push from any of these senates and any of these houses to start restricting whether or not these people are drinking alcohol. If you're really concerned about the health of the poor and you're doing it for their own good, make sure they get a handout, not get a handout, they get a hand up, then you should certainly be taking a look at liquor, shouldn't you? And one last aspect of this that bothers me, the Kansas story, the Republicans in the Kansas legislature pushed this drug testing for welfare thing. The Democrats, to try to make a statement or, I don't know, have them reverse themselves, I don't know what the goal was, pushed an amendment to have drug testing included for the lawmakers as well, so that the senators and the House members would have to. So the solution here to oppressing people is to oppress a broader class of them. Let's equally oppress everyone. Let's force everyone to drug test. Now, somebody will point out that the governor and the lieutenant governor, I think, in the state already have to drug test or something about Kansas law, something like that. The solution here isn't more drug testing. When did we become such a country that just wanted to peek into the bodies of each other and be so concerned about what we are doing on our off time? Well, I guess since forever, really. It's nothing new. It's just frustrating when you know so much of the truth about cannabis. You know how beneficial it could be to so many people. You know how many people are benefiting from it, that we would take this substance that could be so, and especially when we're talking about poor people, who could benefit from it more, a cheap, low-cost, easy way to get medical benefit. And if it were legalized on the hemp level, we would have more jobs for poor people. We would have manufacturing jobs coming back to this country from the easy access to hemp. We would have farming jobs. It's just frustrating as all hell. Sometimes I'm at a lack of words for it. But you can follow up on all of these bills. The news stories that I cover are always at news.radicalrust.com. I have highlighted to the original sources. You can go back to those sources, click through the links, make up your own mind. That's all the time we got for hour one. Stay tuned for hour two. We got all sorts of interesting things to talk about. We got a stupid prohibition story coming up. We've got the meth roundup. I'm going to do a meth roundup. This will be fun. And some interesting statistical stuff from the DEA, and a new drug scare that actually sounds like a volcano in the Indonesian islands. Have to stay tuned and figure out what the hell I'm talking about. That's all the time we got for Brian the Red and Bacon Dan. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. Take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it.